my flow. I like to lube my hands all the time. Psalms 23, verse 5, thou preparest a table for me in the presence of mine enemies. And today we're just going to deal with the subject matter, we got company. We got company. Father God, we come before you right now, Lord, just thanking you for this time, oh God, thanking you for your word, oh God, thanking you for your power, thanking for you for your spirit that is already here, resting on a place, already breaking yokes and already delivering, and you're already speaking before I even got up, God. You have already spoken to some people on this place, oh God. So we thank you for what you are doing, what you have already done, God, that your spirit has already went before us and already prepared where you're trying to take us, oh God. So we just thank you right now for what you've already done, God. We just pray right now, Lord, that you will completely remove me, oh God, and just let your word come through for your people to empower, to encourage your children. In Jesus' name, amen. We got company. I don't know if you all were raised like I was raised, but I believe you were. If ever we were expecting company, we had to clean. You could not invite somebody over if you did not clean the house. If you slipped up and brought somebody in the house before the house was clean, when that person left, you had a problem on your hands. Because your parents did not want you to bring anybody into your house if it didn't look its best. Because when they had some company over, they didn't want the company to see some of the mess. It's cool with the friends and the family over there. That's okay. But the outsiders, if an outsider came in, they want the house to look spotless. They want this house to look just like it's straight off of BET Cribs. They just want the house to just look as beautiful as the house could look. Because they don't want no outsider coming in and then coming out talking about you. Then making you look bad and making them look bad and saying all this because of what they saw in the condition of your house. So to prevent that, you got to clean the house. But what they do not do is stop people from coming in. They just present the house in a different way. Thou preparest a table for me in the presence of mine enemies. Some of us may be wondering why in life we are surrounded by so many enemies. It's like, oh God, what's going on? Why am I not surrounded by people that want to help me? Why am I surrounded by nothing but enemies? And God is saying, I got you surrounded by this company because I want to present you and show you to be as beautiful as you can be. You see, I am working on you, but I need some company to be able to see. See, I need your enemies to be able to see you at your best. I'm not going to have them on the inside, but I'm going to clean you up to the point where I'm showing you off at your best. But we prepare a table. And I just begin to just think about preparing a table. I'm going to be honest with y'all. I ain't never prepared nobody's table, so I had to Google it. I sat there. I've sat at your table plenty of times. I even bought him something to cook with. I said, he cooks well. I'm going to buy him something. I'm going to eat from that. Amen.
Thank you.
Amen. So I was just looking at everything. What goes into setting the table? So we're going to set a tablecloth. Because sometimes your table might not be in the best condition. The table might be a little scratched. The table might have some stains on it. The table sometimes, it's just after some wear and tear, it just doesn't look like it did when it was brand new. So you get a nice, beautiful tablecloth to cover up everything that might look bad when you're setting the table. And God is saying, I'm trying to set a tablecloth of righteousness over you. You see, when you're in the presence of the enemy, Satan will want to point out your sin. Daily, every day, he want to point out your issues. Every day in the presence of the enemy, he want to point out everything you did wrong and try to make you feel like God does not love you because of what you did. But God is saying, no, 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 no. Now, I'm preparing this in front of him. I'm going to cover you with my righteousness. In Zechariah chapter 3, Satan takes Joshua, the high priest, and he presents him before God. And the Bible says that Joshua, the high priest, was in filthy garments. And Satan, like, look at your high priest. We're talking about the high priest here, not just the regular people. He's like, God, look at your high priest all filthy. God looks at Satan and says, Satan, I rebuke thee. He turns to one of the angels and said, go get him a white robe. Go get him a white robe and cover all his filthiness. But he did it right there in the presence of Satan. Satan, you're not going to be able to continue to bother my children talking about what they did wrong when I got on the cross and died and the blood was shed and covered all that. No, in your presence, I'm going to show you that what they did don't mean nothing. I'm going to take them from where they were to where they're supposed to be, and nothing that you say can stop it. Right in front of your presence, Satan, right in front of everybody that saw me how I used to be, it's go see me how I am now, right in your presence. We got company. We got company. God said, behold, Joshua, I have caused your iniquities to pass from you. So, Joshua, they're gone. Don't think about them no more. And God is saying to us, I know you did some things wrong. You're human. This is what's going to happen. But don't allow the enemy to keep bringing up what you did to keep you from going somewhere else. See, your past has nothing to do with your future. It cannot keep you unless you want to stay there. Unless you want to be like Lot's wife and keep looking back. You're going to be stuck where you are. But if you keep your eyes focused forward and understand that God has clothed you and covered you in his righteousness. So we put our tablecloth down. Now we put our plates down. And we know that the plate is set for something to go on it. But in the presence of the enemy, he will try to cause you to focus on the fact that there is nothing on your plate yet. In his presence, all he wants you to focus on is the fact that right now, at this present moment, it's nothing on your plate. God don't love you. God don't got nothing for you. Them promises that y'all keep talking about are nothing. Everything they prophesying over you, that means nothing. None of that stuff's going to come to pass. Look at your plate. Look at your bank account. Look at your life. Look at your relationships. Look at it. It's nothing. But God is saying, I place an empty plate. So in his presence, he can see I'm going to feed you. I didn't show him an empty plate so he could bother you. I showed him a plate to let him know something's coming. And that's how we have to live our life. We have to understand that when we are in the presence of the enemy, this empty plate means I got something coming. I got something coming right here in your presence. Right here while you talking all your stuff. Right here while you saying everything that you saying about me. Right here in your presence, I got something coming. Anybody got something coming from God? I don't care whose presence I'm in. I don't care how empty my plate looks. I don't care what nobody's saying. I got something coming. I might not have it right now, but I got a plate that says something is going on this eventually, and I'm going to wait. I'm going to wait. Hallelujah. Right here. Then it says, we have utensils. You know, I just know one kind of fork. That's a fork. So we got a salad fork, got a dinner fork, got a dessert fork, a spoon, got a butter knife. You got a knife to cut the food with. It's just all this stuff. You know me, it's just knife. I'll be cutting meat with butter knives. Whatever they, I use the fork, whatever. You know, you just got to use whatever you got. In the presence of the enemy, he wants us to think that we have all this stuff that we can't use. Well, you see, when the table is set, the plates are there. There's nothing on the plate yet. The forks, the knives, everything is there, but it's nothing to put it on. And he says, he's trying to cause us to think that we have all this stuff that we can't use. Oh, all the miracles that happened in the Bible. Oh, no, that was for the Bible times. You can't really heal nobody. You can't really speak to no storm. Those things were just there. You can't really use them. It's just there. You can't. It's just, look at your plate. What are you going to do with it? What are you going to do with it? Oh! They prophesied that you have this anointing on your life. Oh no! You can't really use that. That's just something they say in church because it's church cliche. Oh, that's just what they say because they want to make you feel good. You really, really, really can't use it. But Jesus is saying, behold, I gave you power to tread upon the serpent and upon a scorpion and over all the powers of the enemy, and nothing by any means shall hurt you. These things right here are going to be used for my glory. At some place and some time, they will be used. Whatever your anointing is, whatever your calling is, whatever your gift is, it will be used if you allow God to use you. Don't let the enemy think that if you got the healing, the gift of healing, that if you lay your hands on somebody, they won't be healed. Me and Dougie, we just had a problem yesterday. We were out, it started to rain, pouring down, raining. And see, we got to get it together. We all searching. He's looking at me, I'm looking at him. We thinking the same thing. We like, man, we need to just tell this rain to stop. See, this stuff sounds far-fetched because the enemy messed with our mind. Jesus spoke to the winds and the waves, and they obeyed him. Jesus spoke to a tree and cursed the tree, and the tree didn't grow anymore. Then the next day, the disciples got excited about seeing a tree wither up because of his words. And Jesus told them, listen, hold up. I don't want y'all getting excited over no little tree. If you speak to the mountain, don't you get excited over little things? So this thing is all far-fetched, but our mind, we didn't do it. We didn't do it. So long story short, we didn't speak to the rain. But we should have. This is where we got to go. God has taken us to a place where we are going to be exercising all of these powers, that these things are not far-fetched, that everything Jesus did that we are going to be able to do. He said, greater works than these shall you do because I go to my Father, which means I'm leaving the position that I am, and I'm going to a position to pull strings for you. So when I get to that place, as soon as you say it up in my name, I'm going to be like, wind, go ahead, stop. Rain, go ahead, stop. You go ahead and get healed. Because it's not us that do the healing. It's not us that do the miracle. It's the power of God. He just said, if you just ask anything in my name, I will do it. So we just got to connect with him. He's in position to pull strings for us. Our gifts will be used. Now, if you are really good at setting tables and you like real, real, real nice stuff, so you're going to have some centerpieces on the table, and you're going to have like maybe some candles and everything. And in the presence of the enemy, he would have us to believe that those things have nothing to do with us or our meal. That God is going to feed us, but he's not going to give us anything extra. But God is saying, I prepared this table to let you know, and I put these centerpieces here to let you know that not only am I going to feed you and give you your necessities, but I'm going to cause a decorating things in your life. I'm going to have some extra things in your life. I'm not just going to meet your need. I'm going to give you more than that. I'm going to be able to decorate everything that's going on around you. You see, sometimes we get to the point where all we want to do is just be saved. Well, I know when I get to heaven, everything's going to be all right. Listen, when I get to heaven, everything's going to be all right. But right now in here, I need some things. Right now in here, there are some things that I want. Right now in here, there are some things that I need in my life. And God is saying, listen here. No, no, no. Don't you think those things don't have nothing to do with you because you saved? You got to have a life of poverty. No, no. Those things are connected to you. Those things that are just for decoration are connected to you. There are some things that I have for your life. There are material things. No, don't worship them. But if you worship me, see, if you just seek me first, in the kingdom of God and my righteousness, then all those things, all those decorations, if you line up with me right, then I'm going to decorate your life. Watch this. And guess where he's going to decorate your life at? I got some people that's listening here. He going to decorate your life right in the presence of your enemy. He ain't got to remove you. He ain't got to take you to no secluded place. He ain't got to take you where it's nothing but just Christians. It ain't got to be in the church house, but in the street, in the presence of your enemies, in the presence of everybody that said you couldn't do it, you wouldn't do it, it's no way you can do it. God ain't telling you you
in their presence. I want to show you all.
Hallelujah. We got company, y'all. We got company. Unless you want to die right now and go to heaven, God is not going to remove every enemy from your life. He's not going to remove everybody that means you harm or means you no good and just have you in a place where everybody around you is just for you. Think about us as parents, we with our children. We don't want our children to hang around and play with certain kids. But we understand that when they go to school or they go outside to play, they still will encounter these kids that might mean them harm or teach them the wrong thing. So all we can do is equip our kids with the proper knowledge so those other kids can't harm them or rub off on them. If I'm not mistaken, Paul pens in Ephesians chapter 6 the knowledge that we need to be able to stand in the presence of our enemies. Everything on the list, he says, put on your whole armor of God that ye may be able to stand. Everything on that list equips you for being in the presence of the enemy. It ain't no skates, no pedal bike, no car, or nothing telling you get in and run away. Everything equips you for being there in his presence in war. Your armor, watch this, wasn't intended for church.
Well,
see, the only time we have on our helmet of salvation is when we in church. The only time we wearing our breastplate of righteousness is when we in church. Only time we got our girls loin about the truth when we in church. The only time we got our feet out the preparation of the gospel is when we in church. And God knows, if we be honest, the only time we pick up our word is when we in church. So soon as we walk out the church doors, we don't have no power. David said, yea, though I walk through the valley of the shadow of death, I will fear no evil. But we get scared as soon as we hit 52nd Street. But that's what we are supposed to be equipped for. The armor of God is not for you to be in church with your armor on. No, you put your armor on here and you wear it out the door. You go out there in the presence of the enemy. That's what that's for. I'm going out. I got my shield of faith. Whatever. I'm swinging. This is what it's for, to go out in the presence of the enemy. Hallelujah. God shows himself through us. So when he allows us to be in the presence of the enemy, it's not that the enemy might devour us. It's that in their presence, he can show us off. One thing about parents, they always want to show off their children and their children's talent for company. And sometimes to a fault, you be sleep. Come down here, they got company. Do your dance. I'm sleepy.
Bob.
It's one thing for you to do what you do in front of your parents, but they say, all right, I see what you're doing here, but you got to take that somewhere. In Genesis chapter 2, verse 19, God brings all the animals to Adam. The Bible says that he brings them to Adam to see what he would call it, and whatsoever he called it, that's what it was from that day forward. So in the presence of God, that was man's practice in God's presence. Now he's saying, come here and do it in the presence of your enemy. So now God has company. We got company. He's down there sitting, but we upstairs, and the enemy is down there right with him. And God says, Joe, come here, Joe. Joe comes down. Yes. Do that thing that you do. So Joe looks at Satan and says, though he slay me,
yet will I trust him. He says, Job, do that other thing. Job said, oh, my allotted time. I'm going to wait till my change comes. Okay, Job, go ahead, Job. You did your thing. He said, Joseph, come on down here, Joseph. Show Satan that thing you do. Joseph looked at Satan and said, you meant it for my evil, but God meant it for my good. Oh, hold on, Satan, I got more. I'm showing off. I'm showing off, Satan. I'm showing off. I got more. He said, hey, Esther, come here, Esther. Won't you come down here? Show Satan that thing you do. She comes down. She looks at Satan, and she says, I'm going to go. If I perish, then I perish. But who knows? Who knows if I was brought here to such a time as this? He said, hold on, I got some triplets. He said, Hananiah, Mishael, Azariah, come down here. Show Satan that thing you do. They all came down in unison and said, King, we are not careful to answer you in this matter. You see, the God that we serve is able. Hallelujah. Now, God is trying to use through his trial. It's going to cause a testimony in front of Satan. He's preparing a table in the presence of his enemies because he wants to show you all. Hallelujah. 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 Through your trials and through your tribulation, God is sitting downstairs with Satan, yelling upstairs, saying, kids, we got company. Kids, we got company. Kids, we got company. I need y'all to show off. I need y'all to do that thing you do. I need you to show that faith. I need you to show that power. I need you to show that anointing. Kids, we got company, kids. We got company. Oh. Hallelujah. Hallelujah. We got company, kids. What are you anointed to do? And God is showing through your trials the enemy what it is that you can do. And that's all God is saying is, we got company. I need you to show off. I need you to show every move. I need to show every power. I need you to show every ounce of faith. I need to show that there is no doubt in you. I need to show that you're going to believe me no matter what the enemy says, no matter what's going on in your life. We got company. We got company, kids. It's Psalm 23. Psalm 23 was written by David after a battle with the Philistines. He showed off. He did his thing. And he comes back strolling. Him and Saul. The ladies was like, Saul killed his thousands. But David killed 10,000. David killed more than a king. He a better warrior. I added all everything past 10,000. I added all of that. It's my imagination. Don't show up bother me. The Bible says that from that day, Saul eyed David. After that day, Saul eyed David, and this background here is in 1 Samuel 18, if you want to turn to it. We're going to deal with this a little bit. But it's all from Psalm 23. This is where it happened and why it happened. And verse 10 it says, and it came to pass on the morrow that the evil spirit from God came upon Saul, and he prophesied in the midst of the house. And David played with his hand as at other times, and there was a javelin in Saul's hand. So Saul is mad, but David is playing an instrument. This is important here. We know that David used his instruments to praise God. So when he was in the presence of somebody who wanted to harm him and somebody who did not like him, and it says that he played with his hands as he did at other times. So when he got in this uncomfortable situation, he reverted back to what he already knew to do, which was praise God.
See, when you already have a history of praising God, you know he's your protector, so you can stand in front of your enemy, in front of the one that wants to do you harm. You can stand in their presence without fear because you understand that your praise is going to protect you and your praise is going to cause God to fight for you. See, your praise gets to the enemy and begins to beat him up before you get a chance to. I love this. I watched Juanita Bynum, and she says, your praise. See, when you say it, it just sounds like, hallelujah, salvation and glory. Your pastor is supposed to encourage you. It sounds like the song that you're singing. She said, but when it gets to Satan's ears, it sounds like, na 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 na, you can't get me. It's not what once I send up. See, the praise, when he hears, he knows that praise is releasing the army. That praise is releasing a battle against him. So when you begin to praise, it don't sound like Yolanda Adams. It don't sound like Donnie McClurkin. It sounds like a war cry. It sounds like fist swinging. It sounds like a sword being swiped. It sounds like a gun being shot off in the enemy. That's the way he hears your praise. But some of us don't have a history of praising God. So when we're in the presence of the enemy, we're not standing there praising. We're not standing there without fear. We're ducking, hiding, and running. But to those of us who have a history of praising God, it don't matter where we at. It don't matter who there. We're going to offer up that praise because we know that praise is going to begin to just release everything that we need. Hallelujah. Verse 11. And Saul, verse 10 says, Saul had a javelin in his hand when he was mad. And Saul cast the javelin, for he said, I will smite David, even to the wall with him. I'm going to stab him and he's going to knock him, turn him to the wall. And David avoided out of his presence twice. But David avoided out of his presence twice. So that means this happened more than once. So that means David went back. Now you might be saying to me, why are you encouraging us to go into the presence of the enemy? Shouldn't we flee the enemy? This is why David kept going back. David kept going back because the house and the position that Saul was in was his. See, a chapter prior, David was anointed king. And Saul was just running around acting like king when he wasn't really king. So David kept going back because everything there was actually his. So he says, I don't care if you throw a javelin at me. I don't care how many trials you throw at me. I don't care what kind of pain you try to bring into my life. I'm going to keep coming back because all this is mine. All that has already been anointed and chosen to be mine. You ain't going to keep me out. Can't no javelin keep me from what's mine. I've seen Samuel come and anoint me and tell me I was the king. I know this palace is mine. I know this kingdom is mine. Anybody here know there are some things that the enemy has that are yours, but you keep getting javelins thrown at you and you keep running? God is saying, go back. All that's yours. Keep going back. Keep going. Keep going. David kept going back. I'm going to keep going. I'm going to keep going back. This is mine. This is mine. Everything that the king wore, everything that the enemy took, it's mine. It's coming back. I'm taking this. Hallelujah. 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 We got to go. This is the verse that started Do Something Ministry. In Matthew 16:18. Come on. Jesus is talking to all the disciples, asking, who do men say that I am? And some say Elias, some say one of the other prophets, and Peter responds, you are the Son of the living God, you are the Christ. And Jesus says, you know, flesh and blood that I reveal this to you, but my Father which is in heaven. But then he begins, and he tells him in 18, upon this rock I will build my church. And the rock was not Peter, but the foundation of what Peter said. He says, upon this rock I will build my church, and the gates of hell will not prevail against it. Now, gates, especially in this time, were defensive protective mechanisms that did not move. And the enemy has built gates around the people of God. He has built gates of sin. He has built gates of poverty. He has built gates of depression. He has built gates of homosexuality. He has built gates of generational curses. And Jesus says, if the gates of hell are not going to prevail, y'all got to be doing something. Y'all got to be breaking down these gates. That's the only way a gate can't prevail, is if you are breaking it down, if you are going there. See, this is what happened in Joshua. He said, listen, that's yours. It's walls all built around it. It's a whole gated city. I need you to go there. Encircle that thing and then do it. Then set up that praise and all of that is going to fall down. But we got to go there. We keep wanting to be in the church. We're not going to get everything we want out of the church because everything we want ain't in the church. We need to be going out and getting some stuff and bringing it back to the church. A lot of the wars God caused, he caused so they could take the spoil and bring it back. Hallelujah. In Exodus, when the whole Exodus is happening, God's telling Moses, listen, lead the people by Pahaharoth and, you know, by the Red Sea. And he gets there, and we all know they get stuck there, and Pharaoh's behind them. But he tells them, I'm going to deliver you that the Egyptians may know that I am the Lord your God. And this is what's going on in your life. God is trying to show that he is the Lord your God. All of our God through us, through what we're going through how we deal with it, through how we look at things, through how we think, through how we act, through how we talk. God is trying to use us. And we're going into a new season. We're going into a new season, saints. Confessor told us, hit the ground running. Hit the ground running. Where little Momo at? Momo hits the ground running, literally. If you pick him up, and you put him near the ground, his feet move. Seriously, he start running before he hit the ground. And this is what we got to do. It's time to hit the ground running. It's time for us to go forward. It's time for us to stop being scared of the enemy. Because why are we scared of the enemy when greater is he that is in us and he that is in the world? Why are we scared of the enemy when we know that no weapon formed against us shall prosper? Why are we scared about what we're going through when we understand that our present sufferings, which are what for a moment, working for us a far more exceeding glory? Why are we worried about the enemy when we know that God is going to use what we're going through for our good? Because we know all things work together for good to them that love the Lord and are called according to your purpose. And I just want to let you know today, if you are going through anything, the reason you're going through something is because God is sitting with the enemy and he's yelling upstairs saying, kids, we got company and God wants to show you off. Let us all stand.